I'm sure many of you have visited Ballyhaik from time to time. You've seen the remarkable statue of Roger Casement that is there. But do you know the story about how the statue came to be there, or the fact that it wasn't meant to be there at all in the first place? Well, with me on the line with this remarkable story is Ciarán Casey. He's an Irish economic historian. He's the author of the upcoming book, The Irish Department of Finance, 1959 to 1999. And it's during his research that he came across this remarkable story of Roger Casement and remembering the great patriot that he was. Ciarán, good morning to you, and thanks for talking to us on the programme.
Morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Now, you were going through copious amounts of files and documentation, imagine, as research for your book, and you came across this curious tale of the Casement statue. It's going on many, it was going on many, many years before it found its way to Kerry. What happened here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so as you say, so it's, I was doing history of the Department of Finance, which is out next month, and, you know, a lot of these files, like, they're very dry, and, you know, I kind of went in going, God, you know, am I going to get anything decent here? And one of the first ones I found, it completely threw me off and, you know, made me think that I was going to get all this brilliant stuff. I never got anything as interesting again. So it's, yeah, it's the Roger Casement. He was, I'm sure, you know, most Irish people know, he was hanged in 1916 for trying to smuggle arms from Germany to Ireland in advance of the Rising, and he landed in Bannockburn and was captured. And after the Rising, you know, they were able to shoot all the rest of the leaders because, you know, they were teachers and, you know, people were just able to do it. They were just general people. But Casement had he'd been knighted for investigating and reporting on humanitarian abuses in the Congo, which are absolutely horrific. In the Belgian Congo. And so, yeah, they knighted him. And then suddenly the British were hit with this quandary of, well, we've knighted this guy and he's this, you know, kind of what we'd now call a human rights hero. And how do you execute someone like that? So they started, officials started trying to discredit him, and they circulated, they go to journalists with these diaries, they're called the Black Diaries now, which were purported to be from Casement. And that's been contested ever since. I've seen good arguments recently, you know, for and against whether they're true. And they include accounts of sex with men and teenage boys, which obviously at the time was illegal. And teenage boys obviously still being illegal. And I mean, some of it, it's quite, I won't go into the detail, it's a morning show. But
sure,
if they are true, they're really problematic, even by today's standards. It's not just as simple as that it's just, you know, pure homophobia. And yeah, so anyway, they circulate these, and that the idea was to try and just suppress any kind of defence of Casement and whatever. So they hanged him in Pentonville Prison, and he was buried in London, and he was buried there from 1916 until 1965. And then by 65, so Ireland and Britain had just signed a free trade area agreement. The Wilson governors in power, they're much more liberal in the UK, and they kind of get into, you know, the Irish, there's a back and forth, and the Irish have always contested and said, yeah, we don't believe the Black Diaries, you know, and whatever. And they repatriate the body. And Casement had always wanted to be buried up in County Antrim, where his ancestors were from. Casement himself had been born in Sandy Cove in Dublin, but he wanted to be buried in Antrim. But obviously they couldn't do this because of partition, and the Northern government didn't want anything to do with it. So they repatriate the remains in 1965, and they give him a big state funeral. De Valera is Taoiseach, and he presides over it. If people ever go on the British Pathway website, there's brilliant newsreels of it, a big military parade all through Dublin. And they bury him in the Heroes Plot in Glasnevin. And yeah, he's buried there despite his wishes. And the state immediately goes out, and the Department of Finance in this period was, the Taoiseach's department was tiny, it had a tiny budget. The Department of Finance essentially did, it was a central department, it did everything that we think of all the major departments doing now. So it's their job, they go, okay, we'll go and commission a statue of Roger Casement. And a committee set up, they're given £5,000, and they go and get, so Oisin Kelly was the most famous sculptor in the country. He did, people might know, on O'Connell Street in Dublin, he did the big statue of James Larkin, he did the statue of the Children of Lear.
Yes.
And he goes, the brief is, go and do a statue, and I think he was 9 foot tall, something like that, heroic eyes in bronze, and it was so big they had to buy the graves on either side in Glasnevin to try and fit it. But this was 1968, he was commissioned to do it. They get into a big debate over what should the proper translation of Casement be for the plaque on the statue. And then there's a big debate over, should the Irish be on top or should the English be on top? And this continues on. It was meant to be unveiled in 1971. It pulls into 1972. March 1973, the government changes, the Cosgrave government comes in, the troubles have flared up, the new government is a little bit worried about antagonising...
the image of all of it, yeah, because...
So they kind of go, well, look, we can't have this big nationalist, you know, browbeating
display.
Putting it up. So they go, okay, well, maybe we'll do it, quietly. The cabinet meets on the QT and decides no action need be taken for the time being. It's left there for the whole term of the government, which goes up to 77. So this is 12 years after Casement's come, his remains have come back. He's buried at this point, but the statue's lying in a yard in Lad Lane in Dublin, and Kelly's writing, will someone please do something with my statue? In 1977, so the Fianna Fáil's returned to power and Jack Lynch is Taoiseach, and he goes, okay, we'll look at this again. So Casement, he'd been born, so as I say, Sandy Cove, in near Dunleary, and they go, okay, well, look, the local council proposed 5 possible sites in Dunleary. And eventually Lynch, he picks Sandy Cove Park, which is just beside the 40-foot, and he says, okay, well, it's close to Casement's birthplace. It's only a couple of 100 yards from it. And everyone goes, brilliant. 1979, that's picked, and we're going to put it there. And suddenly it goes completely quiet. Statues pulled from Dunleary completely, and no one knows why. And even in finance, they don't know why. And it's only a couple of years later they find a letter that had been sent to George Calley, the minister at the time, from a cabinet colleague. And it says, essentially, just, I think it right to mention to you personally and confidentially, a point which can't be included in the official response. An officer in my department who knows the area well says the site of Sandy Cove Park, where it's proposed to erect a memorial, is a well-known contact area for homosexuals in the late evenings, and the nearby 40-foot, the charity who works there, the committee there, has to exercise discreet vigilance to ensure the 40-foot is used in this way. And it just kind of says, in view of the allegations made many years ago, you may not think it's the place to put it. So that gets dropped completely.
In view of the Black Diaries. Decades later, this issue linked to issues of the Black Diaries comes up and means Sandy Cove Park is out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what, 63 years later. So
that's remarkable.
In the background for years, so it had been some local, I'm trying to remember back to, and because I read some of the local newspapers on it as well, there had been kind of a grassroots campaign in Kerry, in Ballyhide, to try and get the statue for over Bannerstrand, because it's where Casement had landed, and there'd been some local TDs that got involved, but suddenly they've got the ace card, because Dick Spring is tarnished in the Garrick Fitzgerald government.
Enter Dick Spring, 1983, the appointment of Dick Spring as tarnished.
Exactly. And just that government, because Labour held the balance of power, Garrick Fitzgerald really wanted to keep Labour on board, so Dick Spring tends to get what he wanted. So he secures the statue for Ballyhaig, but then again, because the poor Casement statue can never get a break, it kicks off 3 separate protests at the same time. So
3
literally
protests
the day
to it being put up in Ballyhaig.
Yep. So the day before, the IRA had tried smuggling guns aboard a boat called the Marita Ann off the Kerry coast, and it got caught.
That was the day. The Marita Ann, the arrests happened the day before Roger Casement's statue was erected in Ballyhaig.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there was a protest at the erecting of the statue.
Exactly. So there was a bunch of Sinn Féin members, and they were protesting, essentially going, what's the difference between then and now? Locals in Ballyhaig complained for the statue. So what the newspaper report at the time said, the statue was facing in the wrong direction away from the town. I think someone else was telling me there was some other objection to it, but anyway, people weren't happy in the town was what was happening to it. And in Dunleary, the councillors, who were never told why they lost the statue, so they were disgusted. There were arguments. Someone had wanted to put it in the People's Park, I think, one of the Fianna Fáil councillors. Other councillors had voted down. There were arguments in the council. People were called West Brits for not wanting to do it, and so on, but they never knew why they didn't get it. And so in 2016, so 100 years after Casement's death, Dunleary Council goes, we don't have a statue for Roger Casement, we should go and get one, and commission one. And that was meant to go in, reasonably quickly or whatever, and then of course sure COVID hit, so the statue was delayed again. Dunleary finally put in its own statue in the bath in September last year, so 2021. So what is it, like, just over 50 years after Casement's remains finally got back, and 105 years after his death.
So, yeah. After his death, he finally has a statue in Dublin in September of 2021. After all those, must be the most cursed statue in terms of being placed somewhere in the history of Irish bureaucracy, shall we call it that? Kieran, listen, fascinating story. They have their one. Ballyhike has his one. It's a nice statue. I'm looking at a picture of it here in Ballyhike. They've done a decent job with him, I think.
Oisín Kelly was, he was the best sculptor in the country. And I think the one in Dunleary now lays claim to being slightly taller than the original one. But sure, look, we've two statues, so I'm sure everyone can be happy.
Everyone's happy. Listen, Kieran, fascinating story. Best of luck with the book. We'll have to have you on again when you publish the book about the Department of Finance and all the control and power it wielded over those years in terms of governance. But thanks so much for telling us the story this morning.
Thanks so much. Cheers, sir.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant stuff there. What a story, what a saga. And you wonder how these things would happen, how they get delayed, and the different roundabouts and other things that happen. But that's a 50-year saga, plus a 105-year saga, if you want to go back and today one. Kieran Casey there, our Irish economic historian and author of an upcoming book on the Department of Finance. Get in touch with us on the show with more after we take these.